Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. Hey, like most of you, I had, not have, had trouble sleeping, but I sleep better than ever. And you know what? It's all because of a pillow. Mike Lindell's My Pillow has changed my life for the better, and it works. What makes My Pillow so different is their patented adjustable fill. Now, you can adjust the patented fill to your exact individual comfort need and get the support you absolutely must have. And that means you fall asleep faster, you stay asleep longer. It just works. Now, millions of people have already discovered that MyPillow works for them, and now it's time for you to experience MyPillow for yourself. Just go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Sean, and when you do, Mike Lindell will give you his best offer ever. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 10-year warranty, and a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. So get started and get the sleep you crave and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity, and get Mike Lindell's special 2-for-1 offer. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, glad you're with us. Happy shutdown, Schumer shutdown Friday. It is the Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. So glad you could be with us. Look, I've got so much on our plate today, not the least of which is I am going to give out a phone number throughout the program today. Now, we heard all about this memo, and I'm going to go through it in more detail. And the memo was finally seen by members of Congress yesterday. They are not themselves allowed to talk about it. I'll explain the little dribs and drabs and things that I am slowly putting together about how bad it is. Let's just say everything that we have been talking about and telling you about forever. It's almost been a complete year since we first reported on this program. Sarah Carter, John Solomon, and we have been unpeeling the layers of an onion. Some of you have been impatient with me. Mike Myers, for one, sends me an email. When is it going to come out? All of it. I'm like, we're getting there. And I understand your impatience. I am naturally impatient. Well, stop shaking your heads in there. It's not that bad. Thank you very much. What's with the, confirmation. Oh, you're impatient. I am not. I'm nice to everybody in there. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, Lisa really likes you. I think she thinks, maybe she might be your favorite.
One little itsy-bitsy mistake, for crying out loud. I got to get over it. But you shouldn't play hooky, and then I wouldn't have come up as an issue.
Well, Lisa was here, so I left you in good hands.
Oh, my gosh. No, she wasn't. But listen, we don't mind. You're allowed. You got to take care of your son. Well, that's important to us. Liam is a part of our family. But this is now, we now can release this to the public. All that needs to happen is for the House Intelligence Committee to go into session, and then they have a vote on it. And then it will be sent to the White House. All the White House has to do, and I am certain they would do it, is check off that it's okay to allow the American people to see what it is that these congressmen are so aghast at. As one person said, this makes Watergate look like nursery school. Now, Watergate's a two-bit break-in, right? It's about, they break in to a political opposition. No, this is about using government, using the powerful tools of intelligence. This is about lying to courts. This is about opposition parties conniving and scheming and planning and plotting on how they can spy on a opponent, an opposition party in a presidential election year. And then it's after a presidential election year and about an insurance policy they put together. We could then have a vote in the House and it would be released tonight, today, to you, the American people. Now, release the memo has been trending as I saw it earlier today, and I just tweeted it out on Twitter. I want to see the memo. We have a right to see the memo. And I am also told today that this memo is only 30% maybe of what is about to come out. We are talking about widespread FISA warrant abuse, and we're talking about not rank and file FBI people, not rank and file intelligence people, but we're talking about people at the highest level in these departments corruptly thinking that they know better than you as to who should be the American president. And it shocks the conscience what has gone on here. The other thing this will expose to everybody is just how corrupt the mainstream liberal left-wing media in this country is. Just how wrong they have been. They're lying to you right now about what's going to happen. They're trying to scare the crap out of, you know, grandma and grandpa when it's not true about what a government shutdown really means. I'll go over that in detail. So if you want to see the memo and you want the memo released, release the memo, you can call Congress now at 202-224-3121. You can ask for the Speaker's office. You can ask for your congressman, your congresswoman's office, and say, release the memo. Please do it now. We have a right to see it. Because I'm hearing that, well, the leadership is they're too busy and they got government shut down. Release the memo. It's not that difficult. It's not that hard. Won't take that long. It's not that much effort. And it looks like if you are going to be stuck in Washington over the weekend, sticking around in D.C., if you're going to be doing that, then you might as well work for the people anyway. All right, I'll get back to this in a second. 202-224-3121. If you're on Twitter, you might want to tweet out, release the memo. I put it up on my account out at Sean Hannity. No, we're not accepting direct messages. Everyone's getting hacked. It's just like we've been hacked already. How many times have we been hacked, Linda? Do we know?
No, we've never been hacked because we have an amazing cybersecurity force. Yes, so we had the one hacking.
Yeah. That was only one. I thought we got hacked twice.
Maybe twice.
So then why did you tell me that we haven't been? You mean we haven't been since you took it over and started being serious?
I blame Lisa for all of these mistakes.
Who's Lisa? I don't know. I don't know.
I fired her yesterday.
Oh, she used to work on the show. How long did she work here for?
Yeah, I fired her. She was ridiculous.
How long did she work here for?
Too long.
Oh my! So Linda takes off 2 days this week, and I'm like, oh, where's Lisa, Linda? And she's like, I guess your phone started?
My phone, my text, everyone just started texting and tweeting.
Are you really upset about it? You shouldn't be.
No, not at all. I mean, I fired her, so it's all done now.
All right, it's all handled. So
I'm outraged for her.
I think you're on Lisa's hate list.
Oh, do you have a hate list, Linda?
No, I don't have one, but I heard Lisa did. That's why I fired her.
Yeah. Oh, so
cybersecurity fault.
She's gone. As long as she's gone and dead, that's all I want to know. All right, let me get this information out. All right, so if you tune into any channel today, it's 8 hours, 47 seconds, and 1 second. 47 minutes, 1 second. And it's a ticking, talking down all night. And it's meaningless. They are trying to whip people's minds into a frenzy. And they're doing it on purpose. They know, you know, let me play for you an exchange with, you know, Hull, CNN fake news, and Jim Acosta, their White House correspondent, their chief White House correspondent. Listen to how dumb he is. And this has been the narrative. Well, you guys control the government. You have the majority in the House and the Senate, and you have the presidency. Well, we need cloture. You need 60 votes in the Senate to get the bill to be voted on. And what's happening is that's why it's the Schumer shutdown. Now, it's a clean CR, which Democrats always say that they want. It included the CHIP program, which Democrats say that they want. And I am arguing that the Democrats want the shutdown. They want to go out and blame Trump, blame the Republicans, say they're not protecting the kids of DACA. Well, that doesn't come up till the end of March. So what they're really doing is a lie. It's all part of a political scheme, just like they don't want DACA done because they want to run on DACA. And I'll take that debate any day. If it's going to be border security, securing the borders and securing the American people first, I think they get priority over anybody else because they're our citizens. We the people. They're already we the people. Anyway, here is the most unbelievable, incredibly ignorant, dumb exchange with Holt Network, CNN, fake news, Jim Acosta.
How can it be the Schumer shutdown when Republicans control the White House, the House, and the Senate?
Come on, you know the answer to that as well as anybody. I mean, I have to laugh when people say that. Oh, we control the House and the Senate, the White House. Why can't you get this done? You know as well as anybody that it takes 60 votes in the Senate to pass an appropriations bill, right? You know that.
I know that.
Okay, only have 51 votes in the Senate, then you have to have Democrat support in order to keep the government, to fund the government. So that's the answer to his question.
The president asked Congress to come up with a solution for the Dreamers. Congress was in the room. Members of Congress were in the room with the president last week. It seemed to be a fairly productive meeting. And then the whole process got blown up. It seems that the whole process was blown up by the president's comments.
When Republicans tried to add a discussion about Obamacare to the funding process in 2013, we are accused by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer of inserting a non-fiscal, a non-financial issue into the spending process in order to shut the government down. How is that not exactly what is happening today? There is no reason that you have to deal with DACA this week. There's no reason you have to deal with DACA before the end of February, the middle of February. DACA doesn't expire till March 5th. This is purely an attempt by the Senate Democrats, led by Mr. Schumer, that's why we call it the Schumer shutdown, in order to try and get a shutdown that they think this president gets blamed for.
They want to blame the president. They don't want DACA either. And it's not an imperative to get the DACA deal done now. And it was the president that opened the door to DACA in the first place. And the Democrats just looking for any excuse because they have deemed it politically expedient not to do a DACA deal. Let me just give you some truth and some facts, because I don't think anybody else in the media is going to do it. You never have a real government shutdown. In other words, Social Security checks are going to go out. There's a lot of leeway in terms of what it means. What are essential services? What is a constitutional duty? You know, for example, the president and vice president, they're not getting shut out. The government's not going to shut down. Food stamp checks will go out at least till the end of February. Social Security checks will absolutely go out. The military will be working. ICE agents will be working. The borders will be secure. Wall repairs will continue. The parks will be open. Maybe not every single service that they have at the park, but the parks are going to be open. America's cyber team, the FBI, is going to be open. The TSA will be open. The post office will be open. Any Fannie and Freddie are going to be open. I mean, the VA hospitals will be open. Everything, firemen are going to be funded. Food stamps continue. You know, I mean, this is not a shutdown. There's no such thing. And if you maybe work for the EPA in a non-essential role, you might get a free furlough, meaning a vacation. Longest we ever had a shutdown last is 21 days anyway. It's going to end quickly, one way or the other. It's going to end. And I also think that the Democrats, they're not exactly calculating or factoring in that this is a different president. Every day, I can imagine Donald Trump's Twitter feed is going to remind the country about the Schumer shutdown, about the things that aren't being funded, because he is pretty much trying to hold the entire process hostage. He doesn't want this to happen. And so Democrats, they're going to get to midnight tonight. Government's going to shut down. It's not even going to. As a matter, let me put it this way. Your life will go on as normal. It will not be the end of the world. And I will bet that 99.8% of you are not going to be impacted at all. So is it anything to get worked up over? No. Does it deserve a countdown clock? No. Is it the president's fault? No. Is it the Democrats' desire? Yes. And I don't care that Schumer met with the president today. He came out. We had some discussions. We still have a lot of differences. So what the Democrats are using leverage they think they have that they don't have. And if this is what they think is going to work, and if they think not getting DACA done as part of building the wall, ending chain migration, merit-based immigration policies, then let them do what they're going to do. It doesn't worry me. Now, the really big story when we get back, we have a lot coming up today. We will also, Mick Mulvaney, the director of OMB, is going to join us today. The chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Mark Meadows, is here today. Jonathan Gillum, Dan Bongino today, and much more. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number this Friday. All right, as we roll along, don't worry about the government shutdown. As a matter of fact, and we'll talk to Mick Mulvaney, the OMB director, later, he told reporters that if Chuck Schumer shuts down the government, the Trump administration does have contingency plans that will cushion the impact on the American people. At least they care enough to do that, knowing that, you know, shut down Chuck is going to do everything he can do to play politics. And it's the opposite, by the way, of what the Obama administration tried to do when they were, you know, at this point in 2013. It's just the opposite of what they tried to do. Remember, quote, "I've been through some of these before," Mulvaney said, "the Schumer shutdown. I just want to let everybody know about the potential government shutdown. We do not want this. We do not want a shutdown. But if Schumer insists on it, he's in a position to force the American people, force this on the American people. But then he insisted the process will be a lot different under President Trump than Obama because Obama, quote, weaponized the shutdowns for political purposes. Trump is going to prevent that. And he continued, from an OMB perspective, because we're involved in managing a lapse or a shutdown, we want to make folks understand that it will look a lot different than it did under the previous administration. And he said the Obama administration weaponized the shutdown of 2013. What they did is not tell you that they did not encourage agencies to use carry forward funds, funds that they were sitting on, nor did they encourage agencies to use transfer authority. And they could have made the 2013 shutdown much less impactful, but they chose to make it worse. And they did it for political purposes. So basically, figure out here who really wants the government shutdown and who doesn't. I mean, Schumer's demanding that the party that does have power, that they be excluded from any immigration negotiations. That's not, you know, shut down Schumer is not going to win on that ever. So he can shut down the government and shut down the government and he can throw temper tantrum after temper tantrum. It's not going to work. And it's not the worst thing at all. And by the way, the last two government shutdowns did not hurt the GOP. Now, because the media would have you believe it's the Republicans' fault. They'll show you polls that the Republicans are getting blamed for it. Remember in 2013, Ted Cruz filibustered the funding of Obamacare. Good for him. He was the only one at the time. His fellow GOPers were saying, you're going to lose 2014 for us. Anyway, the press filled with predictions it would impact the midterms. It did not. But if the 2013 shutdown played any role in the 2014 vote, well, I think that would actually work pretty well for the Republicans, although the best thing they could do for 2018 is simple. Build the wall, fully fund the wall, and repeal and replace Obamacare. In other words, just keep your word and you'll get reelected. All right, glad you're with us. And it's 25 now till the top of the hour. We have a lot going on today. Let me break a lot of this down for you. By the way, the humorous part of the day is this just broke. James Comey is going to be teaching a course on ethical leadership at William & Mary. Maybe one of those parents paying $60,000 or so a year so your kid can be indoctrinated at some left-wing institution. Anyway, the former FBI director is joining the faculty of his alma mater, the College of William & Mary, plans to teach a course on ethical leadership at the school's Washington Center starting in the fall. And he'll have his MSNBC contributorship. He'll be on the Dr. Liberal Joe Morning Show with Dr. Mika Brzezinski. Can't wait for that day. That's going to... Seriously? I think not only does he fancy himself a rock star, I just get the impression that in the quiet moments at night, when it's just the two of them, a glass of wine, the fire is roaring, and they're just talking, I think they think he's going to be president and she'll be the first lady. And I think the people, the sycophants around them, are telling them that. That'll be interesting to watch. Okay, let me walk through this because this is important. It's more important than this phony government shutdown. But I know that the information crisis in this country is preventing people from ever getting to know the truth here. Number one, the president, and we played it yesterday, so I won't reiterate everything that he said. The economic statistics that the president is laying out are spectacular. Nothing short of a miracle turnaround in a very, very short period of time for the economy. I mean, just a few, you know, 2.2 million jobs. Chrysler from Mexico to Michigan. Look at the investment that we're going to get from Apple, $350 billion. It's only the tip of the iceberg. Then you got all Ford and Chrysler and GM and plants being built now all over the country. And Carrier started it all. And then we have the end of burdensome regulation. And then we have the addition. America's really on a path now with the opening of ANWR and the coal industry continued and fracking now allowed more than ever. You know, we're on the brink of becoming energy independent if we move quickly enough while we have the opportunity. That's going to create so many high-paying career jobs for people, and it's going to also wean us off the dependence of the lifeblood of our economy, energy, oil, And that means that we won't need these countries that hate our guts and hold us hostage at times. You got that reform, the burdensome regulation reform. It's basically we put up a sign, we're open for business again. Build your business here. And we see companies, even with CEOs like the CEO of Apple that hates President Trump, they're ecstatic that this environment has now changed. We have unemployment at an 18-year low demographically. You know, applications for unemployment, 45-year low. Black unemployment in America, the lowest ever recorded. Female unemployment, the lowest in 17 years. Hispanic unemployment, the lowest ever recorded. And again, it's only the tip of the iceberg. And you heard that from the president yesterday. So the Democrats, they don't stand for anything. They don't really want the DACA deal done because they want to run on it. Now they want to shut down the government. All they've discussed for a year is Russia. He's going to start a nuclear war. Oh, and he's crazy until he took his cognitive test with his doctor. And then they smear the doctor. I mean, it just is never ending. And if they're not doing that, they're attacking the first lady, Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort, Reince Priebus, Steve Bannon, and the president himself any day they can. That's your Democratic Party. There's no solutions for the forgotten men and women in poverty out of a job on food stamps. They don't care. You know, a 7-year low of those people that are literally getting food stamps, not reported by your fake news networks. So last night, yesterday, during the course of the program, it began the process. And let me back up a little bit here. Since March of last year, we have been telling you about warrant, FISA warrant abuses, and that had happened at Trump Tower. And we were telling you that. We broke the story with Sarah Carter and John Solomon. They've been doing phenomenal Pulitzer Prize winning. It should be. It won't happen, but Pulitzer Prize winning work. And literally have been unpeeling the layers of an onion for day after day as we've been following this. But we told you back in March, yeah, that in fact it's true that they were spying on then candidate, then president-elect Donald Trump. But now as we've been unpeeling the layers of this onion, it gets deeper and deeper. Now, finally, at the last minute, after subpoenas had been issued and time had passed, the House Intelligence Committee, and literally right up to the deadline, the Department of Justice had been asked to turn over these documents. And they finally turned them over. Earlier in that day, before they were turned over, Rod Rosenstein, and now we know why, he was begging Paul Ryan, please do not release this information. We now know that people absolutely will be fired. I have confirmed. I don't have all the details of everything that's in it. That's why I want them to release the memo today. But confirming what we have been telling you for a year, and for those of you that have been frustrated that we're only getting bits and pieces of the story and we're reporting on them, it has led us to where we are today. And it was we were digging and digging and digging and digging. And I'm as frustrated as you, impatient as many of you are. But now the people that have gone over there have told us it shocks the conscience and it's worse than anybody ever imagined. These classified DOJ documents, and now Congress is reviewing them, but none of them can talk about it. And it's showing extensive and widespread FISA abuse against the Trump campaign. It's more devious, more disturbing than anyone thought. A bigger abuse of power. Far bigger than Watergate, you know, third-rate break-in on a political opponent. That's nothing. That's when you think of what's happened here. It's a little complicated, but if you look at the Watergate comparison, so you got a bunch of people who tried to cover up a break-in of their opponent in a presidential election year. All right, that's it. And what we now know is that we're now, then the difference here is the powerful tools of intelligence were used by those in power because they wanted to influence a presidential election and they thought they could get away with it. Now, it was done not only under false pretenses, but with the help of one candidate, Hillary Clinton, and her bought and paid for Russian propaganda dossier that was filled with Russian lies and Russian propaganda and salacious details that on the surface never made sense. The dossier was only corroborated, wasn't corroborated by Fusion GPS at all. Now, you'll hear talking points that'll say, well, wait a minute. It was the Washington Free Beacon. They first started the diffusion GPS. They hired them. Okay, yeah, but then they stopped. And it wasn't until Hillary Clinton started paying $12 million through her campaign, funneling it through a lawyer, the DNC that she controlled, funneling that money through a lawyer, that they hired Christopher Steele. And Christopher Steele was the guy that went ahead and got the phony Russian lies. And then Fusion GPS, we just learned yesterday, and it's a big detail, they wouldn't even deny that there was coordination with the Clinton campaign. The House Intel transcript shows that the Fusion GPS chief literally refused to deny that he coordinated the Trump dossier press leaks with the Clinton campaign. Imagine this. Just replace Hillary for Donald Trump. Donald Trump rigs a primary against 16 other Republicans. And the person that tells us was Reince Priebus. He was the head of the RNC. It was Donna Brazile that told us Hillary rigged a primary against Bernie. Bernie had no shot. And then James Comey, the head of the FBI, along with Peter Strzok. Peter Strzok is the tip of the spear in all of this, and his mistress girlfriend, Lisa Page. When you have Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Andrew McCabe is getting legal advice from Lisa Page. And then they had, and I'll get to this in a second, then they had the leaked text messages. We still have 9,500 more to go. But this is the highest ranks of the Justice Department than the FBI. And Peter Strzok is at the heart of it, and his mistress also at the heart of it. We're learning that beyond any shadow of a doubt, the special counsel, Robert Mueller, and his band of Democratic witch hunters should never have been appointed. They must be disbanded immediately. Because what Strzok and Page, it now makes sense. Because, you know, we see their text messages to each other, and what do we find? They call Trump an idiot, a lonesome human being. F Trump. You know, then I think the most important part is when Strzok writes Page, I want to believe the path that you threw out for consideration in Andy's office. We believe that to be Andrew McCabe, because she was giving him legal advice, that there's no way he gets elected, that he is Trump. But I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy. In the unlikely event you die before you're 40. The time frame is critical. Because the same time Strzok and Page are talking about the insurance policy is the exact same time that Obama officials are going to a FISA court to get a warrant on Carter Page. Now, follow me here. Page was a pretext to spy on the Trump campaign. And now we have the evidence that that was their motivation. Everyone seems to forget Lisa Page is the key legal counselor for McCabe. Now it all fits. And the first time they tried to get the FISA warrant, we're told, against Carter Page, it was denied. So what fixed it? It was the dossier that fixed it. Now, follow me here. Imagine Donald Trump rigged a primary election. He gets away with that? Hillary got away with that. Then Hillary Clinton hires Fusion GPS, funneling the money that she has in the campaign and of course, through the DNC. They hire the MI6 agent that is known for dealing with Russians. They get Russian lies and propaganda. Fusion GPS hates Donald Trump. They go ahead and they are involved in getting this to the press. Not corroborated. They never even tried to check the sources of it. So then they go back with the dossier after they rigged the primary. James Comey, Peter Strzok literally exonerate Hillary before they investigate her. We know she committed felonies on the email server scandal. They exonerate her so she can stay in the race. She can still run. It would have been a disaster for the Democrats if they had to take her out if she got indicted like she should have been. And then that dossier that she paid for is then used before a FISA court, and they start spying on the Trump administration or an opposing candidate, an opposition party in an election year, and then a president-elect after that. Imagine if Trump did all of that. They were successful. Because the new dossier put it over the top and got them the FISA warrant. And then they used it or abused it. It was gotten under false pretenses by a political party paying for lies from Russia, of all places. You can't make this stuff up. And they tried to tell us that, well, this is really, it got started because of George Papadopoulos running his mouth at a nightclub talking to an Australian diplomat who told a guy in Britain who told the FBI. Hearsay is an exception, not four-way hearsay. Anyway, so they get the Carter Page warrant on him. And it's important because the Obama officials, A, they should have known the dossier on its face was a lie, full of salacious Russian lies. And Fusion GPS never even verified it was in the dossier. And then we learned last night that Fusion GPS, they're not denying that they worked with the Clinton campaign to leak this garbage. And remember, the MI6 agent, Christopher Steele, what is he skilled at? Deception. And people that looked at that information yesterday are telling me that this is the single biggest abuse scandal in the history of this country. Such bigger than Watergate, because they're using government intelligence gathering. They're using a phony propaganda document from a political candidate to spy on an opposition candidate. And they're shredding the Constitution in the process, especially unreasonable search and seizure. Now, the point here is we can stop all of this. We, the people, have a right to know. They can release Congress. Republicans don't need any Democratic help. They can release the memo. And all they have to do, it's very simple, is the Intel Committee needs to vote. It'll be a party line vote. They didn't even want Congress, the Democrats, to see this. It'll be a party line. Then they'll send it to the White House. Any objections? No. Then they'll vote on it and then let the people decide. If you want to call your congressman or woman, here's the number. It's 202-224-3121. Let me put it this way. If you look at the players, I hope Andrew McCabe has a good lawyer. I don't think he's going to make his March retirement. I don't think James Comey, I think he better stop thinking about teaching that class because he's in trouble. Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, I can't wait for the other 9,600 pages. Rod Rosenstein, what did he know and when did he know it and did he reauthorize it? Those are questions I want answered because he should be replaced. And the entire Mueller, you know, witch hunt apparatus of Democrats, they need to be disbanded and fired and investigated if we're going to have equal justice under the law. One last thing. We were right the entire time. Everybody else in the media was wrong. Can't tell you how many people called me yesterday and said, wow, you really were. And by the way, it's not me. It's for our country. But Sarah Carter and people like John Solomon and Victoria Tunsing and Tom Fenton and Greg Jarrett, I can't even remember. Jay Sekulow, there's been a few of us. The rest of the media has ignored the biggest story in their lifetime because of their bias. Quick break, right back. All right, glad you're with us. Sean Hannity Show, hour two on this Friday, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. Breaking news, by the way, now the president is decided, NBC News broadcasting the Super Bowl from Minneapolis. Variety reports Trump does not intend to accept the network's invitation to appear with them before the kickoff. Bill O'Reilly did it last year with Barack Obama and I guess Gayle King the year before. And it began during George W. Bush's presidency, made into an annual tradition by Obama. But just Mika and Joe alone, Liberal Joe, Dr. Liberal Joe and Dr. Brzezinski, Mika. You know, that's reason enough. NBC has been abusively insulting, rude, condescending and lying constantly. I don't blame the president. If he was ever going to do it with anybody at NBC, there's only one person I'd recommend, Al Michaels. No one's going to listen to me anyway. By the way, Edward Snowden has spoken out, says the FISA scandal means Trump should veto the spy program. Oh, there's going to be a major change in the way things are done. So what I said to you as we were closing out the last hour is I want to put a highlight on this. Sarah Carter and John Solomon and Greg Jarrett and Victoria Tunsing. And by the way, Victoria, you're going to hear a lot more from her in the coming year and this year. Tom Fitton, Sebastian Gorka, and myself, and a couple of others. And who am I missing off the top of my head, Linda? I'm sorry, Lisa. I'm kidding. Sidney Powell, another good answer. I just can't remember. What's that? Yeah, I said Tom Fitton. If you were listening to the radio program, you would have known that.
I blame Lisa for everything.
All right, I don't want to stay on this road anymore. Yes, Linda, thank you. But they have done incredible work here. As I was told by many people that can't talk about it, the work we've been doing and the what I keep saying, we're unpeeling the layer of an onion, has now been vindicated. And the rest of the media has been so god-awfully, abusively wrong. It is, they've missed the biggest story in their lifetime. Now, they could get on board now. It's a little late, and I'm sure they're not going to do the good job. Three of the people are with me now. Sarah Carter, Fox News investigative journalist. Sebastian Gorka, also with Fox News. And Greg Jarrett are with us, the three of you. And Sarah, I think it was back in March when you and John Solomon broke the story that, yeah, Trump Tower had been surveilled and there was a FISA warrant and maybe another warrant, and the mainstream media ignored it and made fun of the president when he talked about it.
Yes. I mean, there was so much contradictory evidence to what the mainstream media was actually putting out there. And it was surprising, I think, to me as a journalist, that people didn't want to go down this road, that they just didn't want to see it, despite the mounting evidence, the warrantless surveillance, the documents from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court that showed that the courts chided the Obama administration for extreme abuses. And even when reporters did write about it, it would be buried like page four in the newspaper, and nobody knew about it. So it was really strange how this all played out. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that for the election, for a lot of journalists that had put all their eggs in one basket, the Hillary Clinton basket, and they were so angry with the election, the fair and democratic election of President Trump, that they weren't willing to go down that road. They wanted to believe that there was something nefarious about this, like, how could the country vote for this man? And it was that elitist attitude that really betrayed them and betrayed their duty as journalists to actually investigate what was real.
The difference between this and Watergate, this is so much bigger. To use the Watergate was nursery school compared to this. And the big difference is it's not a third rate burglary to get information on in a presidential election year against an opponent, because that's what it was. And the cover up thereafter, and the media universally was disgusted and outraged. But we now have, we have weaponized the powerful tools of intelligence. We have allowed one candidate to purchase Russian lies, propaganda, salacious lies, misinformation. This candidate rigged a primary. This candidate had an FBI director and others in the FBI protect her after known felonies were committed so she could keep running. She tried to rig the general election with this phony information. We learned in the details that were released from the congressional testimony, the House Intel Committee, that Fusion GPS leader, Glenn Simpson, in fact, he did not deny that he had shared and leaked information to the press on behalf of coordinating with the Clinton campaign. But then they used it, that very same bought and paid for dossier with Russian lies, to get a FISA warrant so they could spy on an opposition candidate and on an incoming president, a president-elect. Sarah, what am I missing here?
You're not missing much. Think about this, Sean. It was what U.S. intelligence, former U.S. intelligence, very high-level U.S. intelligence officials were screaming to the hilltops about. And all of the stories that we've published since for the past year, people that have gone as whistleblowers, and remember Who's Spying on Who, was a story that I recently published where they had gone to the congressional members and said, we need to talk to you because we have an idea what's going on here. They were using the FISA Section 702 basically as a back door to spy on Americans. And this is how they're doing it, they said. This is, let me lay this out for you. Remember, a lot of this is classified, so they could only talk to people with the clearances that were available to them that they could talk to. So they were using this. And you have to ask these questions. Why hasn't anybody pursued the 300 unmaskings done by Samantha Powers, the former UN ambassador.
Oh, that's still...
Why isn't
that's
there an
still...
investigation into why, you know, Susan Rice was conducting these unmaskings? And remember how uncomfortable CIA Director John Brennan was when he was questioned by Trey Gowdy before we even knew about Samantha Power publicly, when he said, do you know of any ambassador that has conducted unmaskings? And at that point in time, he looked over at Trey Gowdy. I mean, I think it was such a poignant moment. He cracked his neck to the side and say, I think I may, you know, I'm not quite sure about that. It does ring a bell.
Let me bring in Greg Jarrett. Greg, you have done such a great job on the legal side of all of this. Let's talk about how severe this is legally.
At least five people who worked in the top echelon of the FBI were directly involved in the decision to absolve Clinton and target Trump. There was an abundance of evidence that Clinton committed crimes and a paucity of evidence that Trump colluded with Russia. Yet, you know, the path to the presidency was cleared for one, and the road to the White House was muddied for the other. And the only reasonable explanation, Sean, for this was political bias on the part of those at the FBI, to some extent the Department of Justice. They were vested with immense power. They attempted to corrupt the electoral process, subvert justice, and seek to undermine democracy in a presidential election. You're absolutely correct. This is far more egregious and serious and tragic than Watergate.
All right, let's look at it from your perspective. You were inside the White House throughout a lot of this, Sebastian Gorka, and I've got to imagine now that we are learning of these abuses, and we've had no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion, I would argue that, number one, Rod Rosenstein, I want to know if he reauthorized this. He himself has a lot of questions coming his way, and I think he needs to be removed. And I think Robert Mueller's, you know, merry band of Democratic donors and witch hunters need to be disbanded and go away tomorrow or today even.
Sean, first, you need to be commended, Sarah, John, Greg, because you didn't give up. The left says they're the resistance and that they persist. Well, no, you persisted. And finally, the truth is getting out. But this truth needs to be put in historic and national context. Listen to the statements just in the last 24 hours from Congressman Jordan, Gates. Listen to the statements that have been made by the people who have read the intelligence memorandum. They said that if any American reads these four pages, they will be shocked and horrified. We have never had, these are not hysterical politicians. These are serious men. They are speaking in language we have not heard since the House Un-American Committee, since the days, this goes back to the worst scandals of American history. This isn't just a bungled burglary. This isn't one man doing something wrong. This is systematic political targeting by federal law enforcement and intelligence assets at the highest levels of the Obama administration. I've been told that this is the tip of the iceberg. What the memo talks about is the tip of the iceberg and will go to the cabinet level of the Obama administration.
I'm told this is 30%, Sarah, and the heart of this, now we understand what Peter Strzok meant when he texted his mistress, well, I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office. Remember, she's Andy McCabe's, you know, top legal advisor, that there's no way he gets elected. But I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40. I guess we now know what the insurance policy was.
It appears that we're getting to see part of that insurance policy, right? We're hearing little snippets of what's coming out of this classified memo. At least the alarm bells are ringing all over the place, and members of Congress who've seen it. Now, I've been told today nearly 130 members have actually seen this four-page report memorandum. Only the Democrats on the HPSC committee have actually seen it. No other Democrats have come in to see it. Surprising, since they seem to want to be so transparent, you would think that they would want to look at this report. And now we're waiting for it to be made public. But it, just going back to what Seb was saying earlier, I was told by somebody, a government official, very senior government official, that this memorandum, if there were 10 bullets, this is only one of 10. Because the rest of the information, the classified information, is so damaging and so damning to them, to the people that are involved, that it's going to rock Washington. That's really concerning to me, because we think, like, well, is this it? What have they seen that we haven't seen? And how bad was it that in the wow. United States of America, we have officials like Seb and Greg both were stating, who are in positions of power, that we trust, that we're weaponizing, it appears, wow. that we're weaponizing the intelligence community for a political opponent.
And abusing the ability to get warrants with paid for opposition lies from Russia, of all places. Stay right there. More with Sarah Carter, more with Greg Jarrett. We'll call. I'm not going to call you Seb. I didn't know we called you Seb, Sebastian, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. It's likely the biggest corruption scandal in our lifetime. We continue. People that have worked so hard on this issue, Sarah Carter and Greg Jarrett and Sebastian Gorka. Greg Jarrett, looking at this from a legal standpoint, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Rod Rosenstein, James Comey. Where do they stand legally in all of this? And Bruce Orr?
Well, they certainly committed abuses of power. And if they lied about their conduct, they can be prosecuted. I wish there was a straight out statute.
What about Comey and Strzok fixing the investigation on Hillary Clinton? Isn't that obstruction?
Well, Comey's interesting, and I'm glad you brought it up. You know, he took with him seven presidential memos. Those are not his. They were made during the course and scope of his work as FBI director. He's not allowed to take them home. He's not allowed to convert them to his own use and leak them to others. That's theft of government documents. He can and should be prosecuted for that. And it also looks as though, I mean, the evidence continues to mount, that he obstructed justice in the Hillary Clinton case. He contorted the law and twisted the facts so that she was exonerated when, in fact, he initially found in his statement that she committed crimes. And the language was redlined out and changed. It looks as though it was done for a political reason. That's obstruction.
It's unbelievable, Sebastian.
It truly is. And the fact is, a handful of individuals have besmirched the reputation of literally thousands of agents and law enforcement officers in the FBI and the Department of Justice. And it may take those organizations years, if not decades, to claw back their good name thanks to the obstruction of justice, the theft, and the felonious activities of a handful of very, very highly placed individuals.
Yeah, I'm almost out of time. Sarah, is this any short of really trying to destroy, really fix a presidential election and using the tools of intelligence and using lies paid for by the opposition? Is it also about undoing a duly elected president or undoing an election?
According to the people that have seen the memo and all the sources that I've spoken with over the past year, it would seem that that was the intention. And I can tell you, Sean, you know, from people that have talked to people within the intelligence community that are more aware of what was going on during that time, there was a feeling among some people within the FBI, I think we know who we're talking about, mm-hmm. and others within the intelligence community and the administration that were supporters of Hillary Clinton, that they believed ideologically that they felt wow. that they had to do this.
Leave it here. We'll have more on TV tonight with all of you. Unbelievable work. Take a bow, but we're only at 10% of what's coming. Straight ahead.
So this could, you could actually have the consequences of default a day or two before it actually occurs. This is playing with fire, and we are happy to negotiate. But we want to negotiate without a gun to our head. Speaker Boehner comes in and he says, basically, it's sort of like this. Someone goes into your house, takes your wife and children hostage, and then says, let's negotiate over the price of your house. You know, we could do the same thing on immigration. We believe strongly in immigration reform. We could say we're shutting down the government. We're not going to raise the debt ceiling until you pass immigration reform. It would be governmental chaos.
Let's be really clear about this. The Republicans put a legislation on the floor that was intended to shut down government. For them, that's a victory because they're anti-government ideologues who dominate the Republican Party.
They wanted to defund Obamacare.
No, they want to shut down government. The effect of putting the Affordable Care Act on the bill is to shut down government. They know that. They know that has no prospect of prevailing. I think it's really important to note that there are lots of excuses that they use. But for many of them, I call them legislative arsonists. They're there to burn down what we should be building up in terms of investments in education and scientific research and all that it is that make our country great and competitive. I don't paint them all with the same brush, and I certainly don't paint the speaker with that brush, but enough of them in their caucus to shut down government. That would be a victory.
Okay, Chuck Schumer, and of course the doom and gloom talk continues. Nancy Pelosi actually saying House Republicans who want a government shutdown are legislative arsonists. Okay, now this is going to be different. The last shutdown, 95-96, 21 days, and as a result, we ended up getting a president impeached over that part. All essential government services do continue. These scare tactics never work. Basically, what the Democrats have tried to play here is that they want to hold Congress and the president hostage. They want DACA. They want chain migration. They want everything that they want, or they're going to shut it down. And if you hear anything else from the press, they're just lying to you. Congressman Mark Meadows, he is the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, joins us now to discuss this and other things. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Sean. Great to be back with you, and thanks for highlighting all of this and the truth, because you do hold us accountable here on Capitol Hill.
I try, sir, but in reality, what, you had a million federal employees sent home. They always end up getting back pay. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. They've never gone without their back pay, and so in some shutdown scenarios, it's like they get a paid vacation instead of all the doom and gloom that you hear from Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Perhaps under this president, it'll be different.
Yeah. I think just the power of his Twitter account every day is going to bring down the force of the bully pulpit of the presidency, and I think it will be quite effective in the end. So what is really happening? Because the way the press is reporting this is that the Republicans are shutting it down when nothing could be further from the truth. You passed this in the House yesterday.
We did, and let me tell you the reason why we passed it in the House is the president got involved personally, talked about our military and trying to make sure they're not held hostage. He doesn't want to shut down. He has told me that personally several times. And yet, at the same time, he's not going to be held hostage by Chuck Schumer trying to use the federal government as a leverage point to get a liberal immigration bill. And so we've got a tough negotiator in chief in the White House. And yet, at the same time, we passed it out of the House. It's sitting in the Senate. It's up to Chuck Schumer and nine of his colleagues to figure out whether they want to shut the government down or not.
I mean, that's the point. I mean, the people in the media that have actually been reporting, well, Republicans, they control the Senate. I'm like, have you never heard of cloture? Have you, you know, do you not know at all how the Senate progresses and works?
Well, you're exactly right. And Mick Mulvaney, Director Mulvaney, actually went on to suggest when he was asked by Jim Acosta from CNN, you know, well, you control everything. How can you blame it on the Democrats? And Mick actually came back at him and says, "Now, Jim, you know better than that. It takes 60 votes. It's Chuck Schumer and nine of his colleagues that have to come along and support it. And so to suggest that we can just, with the waving of a wand, keep the government open is just not accurate."
All right, let's go to the biggest issue of the day. I have been told by my sources that the memo that was finally released that talks about massive Pfizer surveillance abuses and many of the issues that we have been discussing a long time on this program, how a sitting president has been and then opposition candidate was surveilled, the FISA warrant obtained in substantial part, I am told, by a dossier that was bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton and corroborated only by one of her friends and not by Fusion GPS, the group they paid to go out and hire Christopher Steele, who got Russians to lie. And by the way, on the surface of all the allegations, one should have been suspicious anyway. And it gets worse than that. Then they got the FISA warrant. They were spying on an opposition candidate and then spying on a presidential, well, a president-elect in the case of Donald Trump. You had an opportunity yesterday for the first time to go over and read some of this material. Were you one of the people that went over?
Well, I did go over, and I can tell you this, Sean. You have been at the forefront of reporting things on this particular issue for many, many weeks. When no one else would cover it, you were willing to put forth a narrative that is out there each and every day to make sure that truth is conveyed to your listeners and to your viewers.
And to our country. The truth matters. The rule of law matters.
Matter. You want the truth out there, even if it's not going to be supportive of the president. You want to make sure that it's transparent. I did go yesterday. Unfortunately, and there's you get into a catch-22 when you go in to look at a classified document. Even things that you and I were talking about prior to me going in, I can't talk about now because now I know whether they're true or not. And so by that, I can't confirm or deny that.
Well, let me ask you this. Can I ask you this way? I mean, you watch my show every night, and we first reported on a warrant and a FISA warrant back in, I believe it was March when we first broke that story. And we've been asking all these questions, and we've been unpeeling layer after layer after layer of an onion. Is there anything you've ever heard me say on TV that's wrong or not true?
Well, I can say this. I am going to continue to watch your programs and listen to you because whatever sources that you continue to hit apparently are well-informed. And I can't confirm or deny certain aspects of your show because now I know which parts are true and which parts are not, and it would violate something that I've signed. But I can tell you what I saw.
Is there anything that is not true that you've heard?
I again, it would violate.
You can't confirm either it's true or not true. In other words, you're not saying that there's something I said.
I'm going to continue to watch your show, and generally speaking, when I do that, I don't like fake news, and so. But I will say this: what I saw and read, all Americans, your listeners, your viewers, need to read the memo because when they do, it will illuminate a certain situation that I think most Americans would find appalling. I found it shocking that it could actually be happening. I don't want to oversell anything. I'm very concerned based on what I read in a classified setting that there needs to be more light that comes to fruition on this particular issue.
I started the program, Congressman Meadows, giving out the phone number. And I've heard from your office that your phones have been ringing quite a bit, 202-224-3121, with a simple message. And I ask people to be polite, release the memo. The American people, based on everything that I've been able to glean from individuals, is that we have been over the target, and we've been over the target from day one, and that it's even worse than I imagined. And people are going to be fired as a result of this. People we have discussed at length, that would be Bruce Orr and people like Peter Strzok. There will be people investigated, and there probably will be criminal charges for some of them, in my opinion. And Lisa Page, Rod Rosenstein, and James Comey have a lot of explaining to do. McCabe has a lot of explaining to do. And I would expect that there is going to be an earthquake as a result of this memo, based on my own reporting. Here's my question. Imagine if Donald Trump was proven by his own chairman of the RNC to have rigged an election in a primary, if he rigged it against all the other 16 guys he ran against in the primary, and then Donald Trump had an FBI agent and an FBI director exonerate him before they investigated him. In the case, this would be James Comey and Peter Strzok writing an exoneration before the investigation months later. And imagine if Donald Trump paid for a dossier full of lies, Russian propaganda, salacious details about Hillary, and that paid for dossier of Donald Trump was used to rig a general election and manipulate the American people with Russian propaganda. And then you got to spy. It became the predicate, the foundation for a warrant to spy on Hillary candidate. And then if she won, president elect, how would the country react to that?
Well, they would react with shock and disbelief and certainly would not approve of that. And those kinds of accusations are exactly why we need to be transparent with America and let them see what has happened. Because in all of that, once the facts come out, I think there will be a real demand for things to change.
Got to take a quick break. He is the chairman of the Freedom Caucus. Mark Meadows is with us. All right, as we continue with the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, Mark Meadows. You know, we had a big controversy and a big scandal in this country that led to the resignation of a president, and that was Richard Nixon. And it was about a third-rate burglary and about a cover-up. The burglary was to get information on a presidential opponent. As I look at all of this, this is on a magnitude of 1,000 times worse than what we know about Watergate and what we already know about what's happening with the dossier and Uranium One and the email server and the fixes in and rigging primaries and Russia propaganda to influence the American people. Is that a fair characterization on my part, or am I, you know, jumping the shark here?
No, you're not jumping the shark. I can tell you Watergate was one party breaking in to spy on another party. It was not the government involved in that process. And if the government were to be involved in a process of helping one candidate over another, then it would be a new level that truly we have not seen in historical perspectives. And so I can say that you're right in that if those kinds of things were happening, it is far bigger and far greater than Watergate.
We may have weaponized the very powerful tools of intelligence that we have, which we need, and the good people
right.
that put their lives on the line for us. I appreciate them. But we may have weaponize those tools to spy on opposition candidates and incoming presidents, president-elects, and their team, and then somehow get the courts to go along with something that they manufactured and paid for that turns out not to be true. Now, to me, that is a risk of every constitutional value and belief we have. It usurps, you know, all Fourth Amendment constitutional protections against unreasonable search and seizure, doesn't it?
Well, if those things happen, certainly they would be. Again, I am bound by...
You're being careful, but I'm talking about information.
I need to be careful because I don't want to violate really something that I've agreed not to disclose. And so when I confirm or deny something, it gives you insight into a classified document that I can't.
Let me ask this. Why aren't they releasing this today? Why can't we release this today?
Certainly, I believe the sooner we release it, the better. Obviously, that's a call that would be made by the leadership and Chairman Nunes. I know that there have been discussions about doing that. It would take a vote of the House. It is my position that we ought to be taking that vote today. And if not today, then tomorrow. The sooner this gets out there, the better it is for our democracy and the better it is for the American people.
All right, Congressman Mark Meadows, I really have to hand it to the Freedom Caucus guys. They are the only people I really trust in Congress today. Thank you for your hard work every day. I know you're working hard to keep your promises, and it means a lot. I wish others would follow your lead, and we appreciate you being with us, sir.
Well, it's been a joy to be with you. Thank you for being a patriot and always looking out for the best interests of our fellow Americans.
All right, my friend. Thank you. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. Jonathan Gillum, Dan Bongino, responding to this latest information. Release the memo. It's a simple number. If you want to call Congress, I ask that you be polite. 202-224-3121.
Bill Clinton's team tried to demonize you. The Trump team, you could argue, is trying to demonize Bob Mueller. Does that
strategy disagree.
Work?
I mean,
yes or no?
It will eventually not work, because ultimately it's going to be decided under the facts and the law.
Okay. But you disagree with the premise that I just stated. Are they not trying to...
Oh, not whether it's... Oh, I don't think the Trump team, at least I'm not aware of, trying to demonize him. They are raising serious questions about people close to, senior people in the investigation, and I share those concerns.
There are a lot of questions about this Russian dossier, and there are evidence that has come out that the DNC helped fund it. Did you know that was happening, and were you surprised to hear it if you didn't?
I asked one question on November 4th, and I was told that I did not need to know, and so no, I did not know.
Did the DNC actually know what they paid the lawyer who commissioned the dossier? Did the DNC know what was in it?
Well, again, you're going to have to ask folks who were at the DNC at that time.
Asked.
Well, no, I mean, I learned about the dossier a few days ago. Okay,
is that how is that possible? I mean,
well, because you hire a lawyer, uh-huh. And we hire lawyers all the time who hire the third-party vendors to do their work. And uh-huh. So we knew that we were paying for opposition research at the DNC, but we didn't ask questions about who they're hiring in the context of doing their research.
You don't believe Hillary Clinton knew about this either, is that right?
Oh, I don't know.
High up in the campaign, be informed of this?
Well, I mean, she may have known, but the degree of exactly what she knew is beyond my knowledge. For instance, like, it could have been that a decision was made to authorize Perkins Coie to do commission some kind of research, but then decisions about, going out and finding Fusion GPS, finding Christopher Steele, I mean, she may or may not have been aware of that level of detail, I don't know.
When did you learn the DNC and the Clinton campaign were behind the dossier?
I wasn't aware of the arrangement at all.
And then how could you have led the DNC and be in the dark about the dossier?
I wasn't aware of the arrangement at all.
But do you see these things, Senator, as equivalent of the Hillary Clinton campaign looking for dirt from Russians and Russians offering dirt to the Trump campaign?
If you're asking about the dossier, that was funded by a conservative online publication, Washington Free Beacon.
At first,
campaign,
right?
Wait, let me finish. Yep. And they hired a firm that was working with a British Secret Service agent. And then when they decided to drop it, apparently we now know that some of the funds to continue the investigation were paid for by the Clinton campaign.
Hillary, is there a difference between your team paying for this opposition research and Donald Trump's people working with the Russians to influence the election? Is there a difference?
Of course there is. And, you know, I think most serious people understand that. This was research started by a Republican donor during the Republican primary. And then when Trump got the nomination for the Republican Party, the people doing it came to my campaign lawyer and said, you know, would you like us to continue it?
Right.
And he said, yes. He's an experienced lawyer. He knows what the law is. He knows what opposition research is. So this thing didn't come out until after the election, and it's still being evaluated.
Oh, there's no difference when we do it. It's only when we make accusations that are false. The only people in that campaign that used collusion or propaganda or lies in the 2016 campaign was Hillary Clinton. Now, this whole narrative, the Free Beacon started this, okay, way before Fusion GPS ever brought in Christopher Steele. So it is a talking point lie that is repeated almost on a daily basis. It's pretty spectacular lie at that. All right, 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. Release the memo. I have a message, like so many of you, Congress, well, we'll do it when we get back. How about you do it now and do your job now and let the American people see the explosive details that we are hearing about? And by the way, I'm told there is so much more to come. So give us time to absorb a piece at a time to see just how badly the intel community was abusing the Constitution and Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable search and seizure. Let the people of this country know. So release the memo. It's not that much to ask for. Now, if you want to call them in Congress, if you want to do it on Twitter, it's hashtag release the memo. We've tweeted it out earlier today. 202-224-3121. Call the congressman. Ask for Speaker Ryan's office. Be polite. Be nice. You don't have to be mean. Let release the memo. We have gone a year now, over a year, with nothing but salacious lies. And now we have information that shocks the conscience of the American people, that will shock the conscience of the American people. Let us read it. Give us the memo. What is so, release the memo. What's so hard? Jonathan Gillum, author of the brand new book, bestseller Sheep No More, Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent, and NYPD contributing editor at Conservative Review. Welcome both of you to the program. How are you?
Good to be here. Thanks for having me, Sean.
Dan Bongino, I don't think I'm asking for too much. I think that after a year of being lied to and propaganda and misinformation, the American people, they're in Congress today. They have to wait, you know, so we, quote, avoid a government shutdown. So they've got plenty of time to bring into session the Intel committee. The Intel committee can vote it out. The White House, I am certain, would sign off on it. And then, of course, we can get it to the American people. Republicans can vote it out.
Sean,
why are they waiting?
Democrats, because the Democrats will do everything in their power to avoid the American people seeing what is quickly developing into the most.
We don't need one Democrat, though, Dan. We don't need one.
No, we don't. And no, absolutely we don't. This should be immediately released. We don't even have to go through, in some respects, the declassification process. Release the memo for the Americans to see it. Now, here's what you're going to see here. What you're going to see is the abuse on a historic scale of the massive, unbelievable law enforcement and intelligence powers of the United States government to spy on a political opponent of the Obama White House. And as I sent out in a tweet today, and I mean this, there is no plausible deniability here, Sean, anymore for the Obama administration. Plausible deniability went out the window. They are not going to be able to deny their role in this, and stupidity is not a defense. They were spying on the Trump team. They were using their powers to do it. It's how they did it and the mechanics of it that I think are going to horrify the American people when this memo is released.
You know, the thing is, and I'm only getting dribs and drabs and nibbles here and nibbles there, but I've got a pretty good idea of what has happened here. And I want to be clear, and I've known both of you. Both of you are good friends of mine. Both of you have been in law enforcement. And this talking point narrative, oh, they're talking down, you know, the FBI. They're going after good people. No, we're not. You know, if you look at, for example, the email server scandal, if they would have left it in the field offices as they belonged, I have every faith, hope, and confidence that the FBI agents would have done their job. But once they put it in a special category, and Peter Strzok, who is at the tip of the spear in all of this with his mistress girlfriend, and James Comey exonerated him ahead of time. This is not about rank and file, Dan Bongino. This is about corruption at the highest levels.
No, Sean, it's never been about rank and file. Some really good sources I have in this, there are a lot of really, really good, no surprise to us, by the way, great people in the FBI who are horrified. I remember being a former Secret Service agent, the Secret Service scandals and the everyday rank and file agents being just disgusted at what had happened over there. Sean, let's be absolutely clear what's going on here. You have a Trump team that was spied on, potentially with some involvement of people not U.S. government officials. I'm trying to be delicate here, right? You have this happening with no predicate crime whatsoever. There is no evidence of a crime. Remember, Sean, order matters, okay? The way this works is crime, investigation. It doesn't work. Investigation, then go find a crime. You don't reverse engineer a crime to justify an investigation.
And Jonathan Gillum, the heart of all of this is they use Carter Page as a pretext to really spy on Trump and his entire campaign. And the saddest part of this is to obtain the FISA warrant. They used the Hillary Clinton bought and paid for Russian propaganda lying dossier. And that became the basis of the approval in part. And probably substantially, as we're beginning to get more and more feedback, to get that FISA warrant to spy on a candidate and to spy on an opposition party and to spy on a president-elect.
Sean, let me just tell you, I'm agreeing with what you're saying, definitely agreeing with what Dan's saying. Here's what I think has to be done, though. You're looking at this as a point-by-point thing that has happened. This person did this. This person did this. The reality from, you know, I just left the FBI 5 years ago. I saw the writing on the wall when I was leaving, and that was when Mueller was the director of the FBI. Mueller systematically changed the FBI from a law enforcement agency into an intelligence gathering agency. And when you think about that alone, it doesn't do anything for the American people or for law enforcement. That when they start collecting information, it becomes a tool of the government and certain people in government. So now what you're seeing with the FISA court, with the way that the upper echelons of the FBI have handled the information along with the upper echelons of the DOD, what you're seeing is a culmination, I believe, of something that was put in place over a period of time during the Obama administration, and we're seeing the culmination of that, and it didn't work for them. It didn't work. In fact, what it is a way to set people up to guide the information, use the information either to affect elections, to affect outcomes to certain cases, and in this case, entrap an entire group of people that were running for president, that were putting somebody through the process of running for president, and then after they became president. So we're looking at entrapment, and we're looking at entrapment that has been put together through a system that has been systematically created. There is no way, and I know Dan will agree with me on this, there is no way that if I was an investigator when I was in the FBI working a case, that I could go out and take a piece of evidence, this dossier that was created by a private company, and never, if I was the upper echelon of the FBI, and that information would never touch the hands of a ground investigator. In other words, it just went straight to the top and was passed along certain groups of people at the top and then went to FISA. So is the FISA court judge, is he also a part of this, or did the people at the top doctor it so that they could give it to a honest FISA court judge who would look at it and say, oh, there's definitely something there. See, this entire thing was never touched by your ground operators, your investigators that are working the streets. It is a system that has been set up to collect information, create information, and entrap people if necessary. That's what I believe. I think there's plenty of evidence.
All right, stay right there. We'll get back to Dan Bongino, Jonathan Gillum. We'll have full coverage, all of this. Oh, the ever so scary government shutdown. We'll have more on that, too. 800-941-SEAN. That's our toll-free telephone number. Right, as we continue, Jonathan Gillum and Dan Bongino are with us. You know, I go through this every time we have discussions and talk of a government shutdown. Everybody forgets this part. Everybody's life will pretty much go on as normal. This is never and will never be the end of the world. But you got, you know, all these news networks pretty much trying to hype up their insignificant viewing populations. 29 hours, 48 minutes and 7 seconds till the shutdown. And we all know that's not true. Dan Bongino.
Yeah, Sean, listen, I was a Secret Service agent, Jonathan, was in the FBI and U.S. Marshals. You know, Jonathan, you had to show up for work, right, if there was a shutdown? I mean, you go to work like nothing happened, Sean. And here's the kicker in the whole thing. When the government, air quotes here, shuts down, non-essential employees, I should say, to be precise, get a vacation. And then, as you pointed out last night in your Fox show, they get back pay when they come back. I mean, this is the biggest scam ever. You have to be a sucker, you know, the size of the continental United States to believe that the government's going to shut down. And one final point on this, Sean. The Republicans in the past have, you know, lost the shutdown arguments only because of the hack media, not because they've been on the wrong side of the argument. But mark my words on this one. They have never had a deal with a freight train, the media, like the Donald Trump Twitter account. And I can see him right now tweeting every day.
Every day. Of him sitting every hour of every day. Yeah.
Saying, and for that, and they'll bill, be like, the president. Waiting for that bill, guys.
Yeah. Waiting to fund the government. Well, I mean, that's the point. And I brought this up earlier today. When you actually look at a government shutdown, well, critical government functions continue. The military, the FBI, the CIA, Congress, other vital government operations. And by the way, those people that get a furlough, they end up getting their money back. So it's not that bad for them.
Listen, I wish the president would just go ahead and say that everybody is is a necessary government worker. You know, I mean, I don't know if he can declare that. I don't know how they determine who's non-essential and who's not. But Dan is absolutely right that this, when they do this government shutdown, the reality is it's only going to, I guess, the people that would really be affected is maybe they can't go to a certain state park. I mean, the reality is the government is still going to function. And this is a tool. I don't know where along the way where these people figured this out, but these different politicians have realized they can make a lot of to-do about nothing by leading people into believing that this is a crisis when it's not.
Well, it's another manufactured crisis. I mean, and, yep. You know, then the blame game kicks in. But when the Democrats put in demands that they're going to get DACA and they're going to get chain migration and they're going to get the CHIP program. Well, they already got the CHIP program. All right. I got to let you guys go. I appreciate you being with us. 800-941-SHAWN, toll free telephone number. We'll continue.
OMB is preparing for what we're calling the Schumer shutdown. It still surprises me, and I've been through some of these before, that the Democrats in the Senate are opposing a bill that they don't oppose. They're for clean CRs. They're for the extension to the CHIP program. Many of them support the delay in some of the taxes, most specifically the medical device tax, the Cadillac tax especially. They don't oppose anything in the bill, but they are opposing the bill. I just want to let everybody know that we don't want this. We do not want a shutdown. But if Mr. Schumer insists on it, he is in a position to force this on the American people. From an OMB perspective, because we're involved in managing a lapse or a shutdown, and we want to make folks understand that it will look very different than it did under the previous administration. One of the things that I've learned since I've been in this office is that there's no other way to describe it, but the Obama administration weaponized the shutdown in 2013. What they didn't tell you was that they did not encourage agencies to use carry forward funds, funds that they were sitting on, nor did they encourage agencies to use transfer authority. They could have made the shutdown in 2013 much less impactful, but they chose to make it worse. The only conclusion I can draw is they did so for political purposes.
How can it be the Schumer shutdown when Republicans control the White House, the House, and the Senate?
Come on, you know the answer to that as well as anybody. I mean, I have to laugh when people say that, oh, we control the House and the Senate and the White House. Why can't you get this done? You know as well as anybody that it takes 60 votes in the Senate to pass an appropriations bill, right? You know that.
I know that.
Okay, so when you only have 51 votes in the Senate, then you have to have Democrat support in order to keep the government, to fund the government. So that's the answer to his question.
The President asked Congress to come up with a solution for the Dreamers. Congress was in the room. Members of Congress were in the room with the President last week. Mm-hmm. It seemed to be a fairly productive meeting. And then the whole process got blown up. It seems that the whole process was blown up by the President's comments.
When Republicans tried to add a discussion about Obamacare to the funding process in 2013, we are accused by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer of inserting a non-financial issue into the spending process in order to shut the government down.
I listened to that press conference. That was Jim Acosta, fake news CNN. He doesn't know that it takes 60 votes in the Senate. Has he ever heard of cloture? This is their chief White House correspondent over at the whole, you know, fake news network CNN. I sit there and it is jaw-dropping bias on their part. Well, you control everything. I couldn't believe it. Mick Mulvaney is our director of Office of Management and Budget, and he was the one that responded to that. He has to know. I mean, was it just that he think you weren't going to be able to answer that question? I was trying to understand it.
He does know. And hey, it's good to see you again. Thanks for having me on the show. He knows exactly what it is, but his goal is to get that talking point out there. Again, Jim is actively trying to undermine the president, probably more than or as much as any journalist or whatever they call them now. I don't think they're journalists. As much as anyone that I know of, he's simply trying to get that talking point out there. You control the House, you control the Senate, you control the White House. How can you not be blamed? And he's hoping that, you know, nobody picks up on the answer, that we don't know the answer. He knows exactly what the deal is. I've seen it done other times as well, including by folks on television. So anyway, I was glad to get a chance to push back and to at least set the record straight that, no, every single Republican could vote to open the government, to fund the government, and it would still shut down. And that's why we call it the Schumer shutdown.
It is the Schumer shutdown. All right. Can we go through the details? I don't know what insight you can give us. I know the president, Chuck Schumer, met earlier today. Any insight into that meeting?
No. In fact, I'm getting ready to get briefed on that. There was a private meeting with the president, the chief of staff, and Mr. Schumer and his chief of staff. And that was it. So we're going to get briefed on that here shortly.
All right. Let's go over what this continuing resolution would be. It would be for, as I understand it, about 30 days. The Democrats were demanding DACA as part of the deal. They were demanding chain migration as part of the deal, or at least partial chain migration. You did offer the CHIP program continuation, which was a big deal. Nancy Pelosi's comments were kind of breathtaking, considering that is something they say that they want. They always say they want a clean CR. So what's the problem?
Well, part of the problem is they're not telling us exactly what they want. What's on the table right now is very clear because it was passed last night by the House. That is a four-week continuing resolution would fund the government for 4 weeks. It would extend the Children's Health Insurance Program for 6 years and delay the implementation of a couple of Obamacare taxes, most notably the medical device tax and the Cadillac tax on high-end health insurance programs for 2 years. That's it. That's cut and dry. That is past the House and is sitting now at the Senate. Critically, none of the Democrats oppose those things. They don't oppose a four-week CR. In fact, they are sometimes the biggest proponents of a clean CR. They don't oppose the CHIP program. In fact, many of them have voted for that many, many times. It's actually a Democrat priority. And many of them also support the extension, especially the delay in the Cadillac tax. So they don't oppose the deal, but they oppose the whole bill because they want the shutdown. They say they want, a deal on immigration. They say they want the Dreamers, but they still won't send over anything specific on that. There is no bill that anybody could agree to right now. There's a list of principles that group had last Thursday, but that's it. You don't get to vote on a list of principles anymore on immigration that we did say on taxes. So that's why I say this is geared to shut down. The Democrats believe in their DNA that the Republicans get blamed for a shutdown. So they're looking for an excuse. The excuse right now is immigration. A year from now, it could be something else. They want a shutdown, and we're simply trying to deny them the ability to do that.
You know, one of the things I'm convinced is they really don't even want a deal on DACA because they want to run on, quote, the government shutdown. They want to run on DACA. I think the one thing that the Schumer shutdown is not factored in is Donald Trump is going to be there every single day, and he will be tweeting, "Hi, working. Hello, I'm ready. Where are you?" You know, and I just think it'll be nonstop. And for them to go out there and shut the government down. It's also a myth. In as much as we really don't ever shut the government down, do we? Essential services continue. Our military continues. The FBI continues. All of the important aspects involving the government continue. And those people that are furloughed usually get their money back because Congress will give them back pay and a free vacation.
Yeah, I mean, here's how I explain it to people. I explained it this. Yeah, obviously, the reason that obviously I'm heavily involved with this, Sean, is that the Office of Management and Budget is charged with, you know, sort of implementing, running a shutdown. In fact, I found out for the first time last night that the person who technically shuts the government down is me, which is kind of cool. But here's the list that I went over this morning with our own internal staff. Social Security checks go out. Military will remain on the job. There'll be some contractors in some local bases that won't go to work, but most of the military stay at work, and certainly if they're overseas. ICE agents mostly stay on the job. The border continues to be patrolled. The wall repairs even continue on. The parks will stay open. There will be some services that are not available. The trash will get picked up at the national parks, et cetera, but the parks, for the most part, will be open. All of our work on cybersecurity continues. Fannie and Freddie stay open. The post office stays open. TSA will go to work after a shutdown, so commercial flights won't be impacted. FEMA will be able to continue almost all of its disaster relief. Firefighters will be able to stay at work. Washington, D.C. stays open. VA benefits stay open. The VA hospitals stay open. It's just now, granted, None of those people get paid for that work. They will get paid at some point in the future, but they have to work without a paycheck. The paychecks are due out next Friday. But to think that this government is going to shut down the same way it did under the Obama administration is just wrong.
Well, that's an amazing thing. So that means that the men and women that work every day, they will still have to go to work every day, and they just may not get a paycheck to pay their mortgage or their car payment. And I'm sure there'll be leniency, and I'm sure there's not going to be a whole lot of trouble for a lot of people. But for some people, what about the elderly and the checks that they expect? Social Security all goes out, right?
Social Security checks go out. The food stamp checks go out at least through the end of February. Again, the VA benefits go out. The hospitals are open. All the VA services are available. Women, infants, and children used to be.
Can I ask what gets shut down then? I mean, it sounds like everything's up and running, to be honest.
Yeah. The way is this: is what we have. We have. We have what's called exempted or non-exempt, or accepted or non-accepted. Comes down to this: if the government function is either related to a constitutional duty, for example, the vice president's still allowed to go on his diplomatic mission, that is a constitutional duty, that is allowed to continue. If it deals with health or safety, that is everything from military to TSA to some of the, I think even food safety, some of that stuff, that continues. And then if there's something specific in law that says it continues even during a shutdown, that will continue. The stuff that doesn't continue, agencies that would see a major impact in their work would be, say, the Department of Education. It's non-essential to that list of laundry list I just gave. It's not really constitutional. It's not really related to health and safety, and it's not otherwise specifically provided that it stays open during a shutdown. So you will see agencies of the government shut down, but many of the services that folks use day in and day out, like I said, you're going to be able to get on an airplane. The border's going to be patrolled. Those things will still be open.
All right. Let me go to the tax deal. I know that the media tried to ignore it in many ways and many aspects. I've always been, I'm not a populist, I'm not a nationalist, and I'm not a Republican. I am a conservative. I consider myself a Reagan conservative. And I look at the Reagan years when the top marginal rates went from 70 to 28%, and we ended up with 21 million new jobs, the longest period of peacetime economic growth. We doubled revenues to the government, even though we cut the tax rates. I'm looking at these tax cuts that the president has put in place as very ideal and very similar, with a few added bonuses. Part of the deal is, you know, I've always believed that the best job creation engine in this country is going to be energy. ANWR has opened up. The president saved the coal industry, fracking, drilling, which now we have ended a lot of the burdensome regulations. But more importantly, corporate tax cuts. You see companies now investing in America, the repatriation. That has been wanted and never happened for a long time. And I've got to imagine that 4% GDP growth at least is on the horizon.
And for every single reason you just gave, the Democrats are desperate for a shutdown. Because you turn on the TV, you turn on the radio today, and what are we talking about? Everybody except you and a small handful of other people is a shutdown. Oh, my goodness, it's going to shut down, and thus in such a time. A lot of the channels have got countdown clocks very dramatically featured on their pages. Because the Democrats and many folks in the media want to gloss over exactly what you've just talked about. By the way, we should be talking this weekend about the first anniversary of the inauguration and everything that's been accomplished in the first year. In addition to everything that you just laid out, ISIS has also been defeated. North Korea and South Korea are talking together in a way they haven't forever. American influence in the world is going up. Our relationship with many of the Gulf Coast nations has never been better. So things are going really well for the nation, and for that reason, Democrats are desperate to try and find something else to get on the front page of the news.
Well, and one thing I don't think we can overlook is the end of Obama-era regulations. I mean, the president promised, you know, that he would get rid of at least two regulations for every new one he brought on, but we're getting rid of about 20 for every new regulation that has been brought on. And businesses are responding with bonuses, and they're responding with pay increases, and they're responding with investment in their own infrastructure and building factories and manufacturing centers. I mean, when we see car manufacturers bringing their factories back to America, it's kind of like a big sign went out that says open for business finally.
And the stock market, let's not forget about that. It's like it's the biggest one-year run-up during the beginning of a presidency since FDR.
Yes.
And people say, oh, that's just for rich people. No, it's not. If you are listening to this radio program and you are a retired teacher, a retired fireman or
policeman,
policewoman,
yeah.
all of your pensions are tied up in this, and everybody who looks at their 401k knows that this president has been great for their bottom line and great for their individual wealth. And that's exactly what frightens the Democrats to death. If we get a chance to talk about policy, if we get a chance to talk about success, the president wins on every single topic. But when you have such influence over the media like the left does, you get a chance to put up shutdown clocks instead and drive the debate that way.
It's funny. I was talking about the shutdown clock myself. I'm like, what are we going to do? And they just don't give their audiences truth and facts. With all respect, I feel like I'm an island unto myself, Mick Mulvaney. But anyway, great job. I'm sure it's an exciting time for you. I know you spent a lot of years in Congress, and I'm betting you like this job a lot more, and you can get a lot more done. Thank you for being with us, and we'll follow this closely throughout the night.
Thanks, Sean. I am having a blast. I'm happy to work with the president. It's been a real treat. A treat talking to you today. Thanks very much.
All right. We have a massive Hannity tonight. We'll have our own shutdown clock. And any panic you see, you have just heard the truth. You have just heard what's not going to happen. And all the doom and gloom is just hype to scare people and advance a liberal agenda. And they're so stupid, they don't even know what 60 votes means. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. A very important Hannity tonight. Yeah, we're watching the government shutdown. We'll tell you everything the rest of the media is not telling you. Then, of course, the biggest scandal probably in the history of the country, the abuse of power using, of course, the tools and weaponry of literally our intelligence community. Kellyanne Conway, Dan Bongino tonight, Greg Jarrett, Geraldo, Herman Cain, Pam Bondi, and Sarah Carter. That's all happening 9 Eastern, a big show tonight. Set your DVR. And we'll see you tonight at 9 and back here on Monday. Have a great weekend. And don't forget, #release the memo. See you tonight.